is where I'm coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask you to take everything that I say or you hear somebody say on this program and check it out with the word of God. Because if I say or somebody else say or try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want in your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth when God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to speak up for the truth when we're standing on the word of God, because God is indeed on our side. We don't have to bag up, ladies and gentlemen, or shut up. When we are standing on the word of God, we can speak up, because God is indeed on our side. Good morning to you out there in radio land. It's a plumb pleasure to be with you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you are having a good day in the Lord. And any day that God wakes you up in the morning is a good day, because we know that all things work together for the good for those that love the Lord. All right, this morning we have a great program for you in the Situation Room. Today we will be answering your Bible questions. We'll be answering Bible questions this morning. Now we'll be getting ready to, in just a moment, to get our Bibles and open up the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to get your Bible as well this morning if you can. If you're not driving or anything, you can open up your Word of God and look along with us. Before we get into the Word, let me give you some contact information if you would like for us to answer your questions here in the Situation Room. You can email them to me here at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. Also, you can call me at 972-257-3766. 972-257-3766. All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles this morning. And let's go ahead and answer some of these Bible questions. Okay, the first question we got this morning on the list, it says, one of my relatives go to a Church of Christ church, and they don't believe in the Old Testament, or they don't believe in using musical instruments in the church. Are they right? Well, in their mind, they are right, but I think when we check it out with the Word of God, I would have to say no. I don't believe that they are right when it comes to preaching out of only the New Testament, because ask them, what did Peter preach on the day of Pentecost over in Acts chapter 2? I believe that the scripture will show you that Peter, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, he preached out of the Old Testament book of Joel. Over in, let me get that scripture reference for you. Over in Acts chapter 2, Peter, he quoted out of the book of Joel, beginning with verse number 17. Acts 2 and 17, where Joel, verse 16, it says, but this is that, because they was asking Peter, them, why was they speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost? And Peter told them in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. He see, he quoted Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And he goes on, verse 18, 19, 20, 21, all the way on over. And then he quoted David in verse 25 of Acts chapter 2. He says, for David speak concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. And he goes on and continue to quote David. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching and quoting out of the Old Testament. He quoted out of the book of Joel, and then he quoted David out of Psalms number 16, out of the book of Psalms. So Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost out of the Old Testament. And then Acts, of what did Paul preach on his three missionary journeys? When you read, beginning with Acts chapter 13, all the way to the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28, you read that Paul was constantly preaching out of the Old Testament. Because when Paul and Peter was preaching, the New Testament hadn't really been written yet. A lot of those books hadn't been written. It wasn't until, for the most part, Paul was coming to the close of the end of his life. Same thing about Peter, at the close of the end of his life, that they began to start writing. The Holy Spirit inspired them to write these letters that bears, like in Peter's case, bears his name. And then Paul was writing to the various churches that he had established. But the word, the New Testament, didn't come into being until many years after Pentecost. Probably about 10, you're looking at 10, 15 years later that you start seeing New Testament books around A.D. 44, A.D. 45, and what have you. Well, that was about 10, 15 years after the death of Christ. All right, but then you got to remember, what did Jesus quote? Jesus quoted out of the Old Testament. Matthew 4:4, when Jesus was tempted with the devil, Jesus says, it is written, a man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Jesus was quoting out of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse number 3. And then when you look at, let me give you this scripture here, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It tells you all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Notice he says all scripture. Well, when Paul was writing this to Timothy, for the most part, the scriptures that he was talking about was Old Testament. The New Testament had just began to be written. But you combine both New Testament and Old Testament. So today, all the scripture would be Old Testament and New Testament. And so that the man of God may be perfect, and that means complete, that you be hold, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so she was discoursing. One of my relatives go to a Church of Christ church, and they don't believe in the Old Testament. Well, they should. They should believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament, because all of it is scripture. Then the second part of the question was, they don't believe in using musical instruments in the church. Are they right? Well, like I say, in their mind, they are right. But I think when you check it out with the scriptures, I think the scriptures would side on using music in the church. In the Old Testament, David was the great worship leader. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And God gave David instructions to worship the Lord with all kinds of instruments. You know, right before David died, you know, David wanted to build God a house. He wanted to build God the temple. But God told David that David is not for you to build the temple, but he's going to let his son Solomon build the temple. But what God did do, God gave David revelation knowledge on the blueprint for forming the choir and an orchestra. Let me get that for you over in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 16. 2 Chronicles 15 and 16. And the scripture says, "And David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of merkit, palisters, harps, cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy." Did you see all of those different kinds of instruments that David told the chief of the Levites? And the Levites, some of them was appointed to be musicians and singers there in the church. And then when you look down at chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles, chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles and verses 6 and 7, again, the scripture says, "All these were under the hands of their father for sound in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, palisters, harps, for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order, to Asaph, Juniper, and Herman." And so there again. And then when you turn to Psalms 150, over in Psalms 150, you know that great psalm, Psalms 150, that talks about praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Well, let me just turn over there, and that way you'll some of you may not be quite familiar with Psalms 150, so we don't want to take anything for granted. All right. Psalms 150, it says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his fearmen of his power, praise him with mighty acts, praise him according to excellence and greatness, praise him with sounds of trumpet, praise him with psalter and harps, praise him with timbrels and dance, praise him with string instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him with high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All right. So, and then when you look, so there, all of those different instruments, God is saying, telling David to praise him with all those kinds of instruments. And then when you go over to Revelation, because I know I can just about hear some of my Church of Christ friends saying, all that stuff is still Old Testament. All that stuff is still Old Testament. Well, over here in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 5, when we get to heaven, notice what's going to happen up there. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 8. Revelation 5, verse number 8, the scripture says, and when he had taken the books, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, that's a musical instrument, and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And then when you look at Revelations 14 and 23, Revelation 14 and 23, you'll see basically the same thing in Revelation 14 and 3. It says, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 that was redeemed from the earth. Verse number 2. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven, and the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. So in heaven, they playing harps up there in heaven. And so God wants his kingdom to come on this earth just like it is in heaven. Heaven is a model of how we ought to be doing things here on earth. All right, let me see, can I get another question in right quick? But hopefully that will help you on that. So to both of those questions, there is your Church of God and Christ friends, they're not right, I don't believe, according to the scripture. According to the scripture, we can play instruments in the church, and according to the scripture, God want us to read the whole Bible, both Old and New Testament. All right, question number two. If a Christian who's living in sin get killed in a car wreck, will he still go to heaven? Will he still go to heaven? If a Christian who's living in sin get killed in a car wreck, will he still go to heaven? Yes, if he is a real Christian. It all depends if he's a real Christian. If he's a real Christian, if he's truly been born again. See, if you're born again, you can only be born again one time. Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus to be born again, and to be born again, and be born again, be born again. See, even if you backslide, you still, if you have been born again, you still born again. That don't change the fact that you no longer a child of God. It just means that you are a disobedient child of God. Once you are a child of God, you are always a child of God. But sometimes God's children don't always act like they are children of God. That's the problem. But let me get you a scripture here. over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because we have a case study on that. We have a situation that's dealing with a person. 1 Corinthians, that I think this case can kind of help us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you have a situation where a man is sleeping with his stepmama. Now that's bad. You can't hardly get no worse than that. Look at what it says in chapter 5, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And so this man is sleeping with his father's wife, which is his stepmama. It didn't say he's sleeping with his your mama. This man is sleeping with his mama, but he's sleeping with his father's wife. So that's a more than likely, that's a stepmama situation. And it says, and ye are puffed up and have not rather moan. And Paul is talking about the church attitude is puffed up and have not rather moan, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from you. Put him out the church. For I verily as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, has judged already as though I was present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, when you gather together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such as one unto Satan. Why put him in Satan's hand? For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul says, when y'all come together as a church, y'all should go ahead and put him out. Turn him out the church. Turn him into the hand of the devil and let the devil beat up on him. Because, you know, God used the devil as his whipping boy. God lets the devil. A lot of people say, why come God won't get rid of the devil? Because God used the devil. He used the devil to whip up on us and get us back in line. And hopefully after the devil done whipped up on us, that'll make us run on back to God, run on back to the house of God, and get in line with the scriptures. God, he loves us too much to just let us continue to stay in sin. So what God will do, God will use the devil to whip you. And this verse here seemed to imply to deliver, verse 5, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the devil can even go as far as killing him, that the spirit may be saved saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So go ahead and destroy the body so that the spirit, so that his spirit can be saved. And so this verse seemed to be teaching us that if a Christian fall in sin, yes, he still can go to heaven. But let me show you another verse too. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 29 and 30. When a believer falls into sin, three things normally will happen to him. And we'll see these three things right here in verse number 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. God would do one or three things. God would either weaken that person. He may take his job or slow him down in some kind of way. And if that don't work, God will start working on his body and slow him down that way and make him sick. And he'll bring the devil in and make you sick. Or either you can be asleep. Or either God put you to sleep. In other words, he put that body to sleep and then bring you on home to be with the Lord. You know, another case in point, and we don't really have time to turn to it right now, but remember King Saul? He was living a rebellious life for years. You know, being mean to David, ugly to David, then start trying to kill David. And so for many years, he had David on the run. So he was in a backsliding state for many years. But the night right before Saul died, remember, he went to see the witch of Endor. And he asked the witch of Endor to do a seance and to bring up Samuel. And the witch did bring up Samuel. God did work a miracle and raise Samuel back up. And Samuel informed Saul. He said, "Saul, tomorrow you're going to be with me." Now, where was Samuel? Samuel was in paradise. And so Saul, even though he was living a rebellious life, when he died, he went to paradise. But I believed, just like we saw over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that a lot of times you don't really live out all your days. Or you can live your days out, but you live them in being weak or sick. And that's not a good way to live out the rest of your day. So the bottom line, don't get in sin. If you get in sin, hair up and get out, so that you won't, so that God won't weaken you by taking away your health or your wealth, or either take you home and be with him. Because your family, it hurts them when you are going and living in sin. All right, look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be just about all today in the Situation Room. But we do thank the Lord that you spent a portion of your day with us this morning in this Situation Room. Let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in music. Then at 8 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, I'll be back again with the Look in the Book program. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackle. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Folks come from all over the Metroplex to be a part of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these wonderful programs, we began to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long and stay with us, because we're in your corner in this Situation Room. God bless you and keep you, and have a good day.